Aloha, Nui Loa. This is James from Maui. Now we're actually broadcasting from Maui, and it's a beautiful monsoon happening here right now. So a lot of people think we're running down to the beach and playing with the dolphins, but actually we're basically underwater right now. So next couple of days should be cleared up, but at least I'm not in snow up to my belly. That's the one good thing. A lot's happening right now. I was asked by so many people to cover the inauguration and what's going on the world events, and I couldn't think of a better person to bring Winston Sroud on the air again, and because he's got a lot of insights, and we both have been working with on the inner levels at the highest levels. But you know, some things we can talk about, some things we probably shouldn't talk about until it's all done. But at least we can give people a heads up on what's going on and a little more in-depth view about what's happening, and maybe a more enlightened approach to what's happening as well, because I'm seeing a lot of things that fall far below enlightenment by people who profess to be enlightened, you know. So anyway, with any further ado, Winston's been a regular guest on our show, and so I'm not going to go through a big lengthy bio, but Winston, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what do you think about Trump as our new president?
Well, not so much thinking about him as thinking about the alternative. It gives me a little bit of relief.
Yeah, that's why I tell people. I go, do you want Hillary and Obama back like this? And they don't even think about it. They go, and then some do and say yes. And I said, have you done your research? And they go, what do you mean research? And I said, research, you know, what they've done in the past, you know, what they're connected to, and, you know, all the other gates out there that they're being connected to, and you know, the trail of murders and corruption and all that stuff. And I just said, you know, just do the research and then get back to me. And I'm shocked at how many people are out there. Is that your? I'm hearing some weird background noise on your.
Nothing here. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, weird suction noises. But anyway, that comes with the subject that we're talking about. But I'm just blown away at how naive and how corrupt some people have become, and actually how evil, you know, they've become and what they've aligned themselves with. And some people are marching in support of this and haven't done any research whatsoever, and they've been triggered by a big psyops operation, you know, triggering women's rights and trying to tie all these other things into a situation which is you know, becoming very toxic and very convoluted.
Yeah, in some respects. You know, if nothing else, you know, like him or hate him, at least he got everybody all stirred up in one direction or the other. And there's quite, you know, in times past, you know, most of the people in the country were kind of lackadaisical about, you know, the presidential elections, you know, all that kind of thing. But, you know, at the very least, he got people stirred up.
Yeah, he did.
That they, you know, like I say, you know, love him or hate him, people at least are more active about the thing.
Well, I always tell people, you know, everybody wants a Gandhi, and I said, yeah, I'd love to have a Gandhi too, but right now we need a warrior. You know, and I think he's I've never seen anybody just blatantly call it like it is than him. You know, he's the first president in a long, long time to actually shoot from the hip and just speak his mind and tell it like it is.
Yeah, first president we've had for long, you know, for long as I've known that's not a politician.
Yeah, yeah, and he doesn't know the big business.
Yeah, he's a businessman. He's a billionaire, which always raises questions about where did you get your billions from and all those kind of things. But you know, aside from that, let me rehearse. Gosh, the thought occurred to me. I went back, you know, and started analyzing, you know, the presidents for a long time now. And if you go all the way back to FDR, I think he pretty well speaks for himself as far as what he did. Then you got Truman coming in, dropping atomic bombs, you know, killing, you know, millions the people. Then you had Eisenhower that came in who waded up to his neck in blood. The next fellow come along, this JFK fellow, a very popular man. However, you know, his wealth came from his bootlegging mafia daddy. And then we get into the Johnson, who was, you know, if he hadn't become president, he'd been put on trial for murder in Texas.
Yeah.
Then you get into Mr. Nixon, and I don't think there's too much we can say there. And listen, you roll all the way down the line, and, you know, as I analyze, you know, the quote-unquote president of the United States, the leader of the free world, you know, so far, we crow about.
Yeah.
But wait, come to this next deal here, whether it be any different or not, you know, I can't say. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Just, you know, I mean, don't judge it before it happens. Let's just see what does happen.
Yeah, it's one of the things. I just finished a newsletter, and that's what I talked about. I go, why don't you give him a chance to screw up before you, you know, attack him, you know, get, I mean, you're all pumped up by CNN and all these false diatribes and information and you've got all these picket signs out there. And when you read their picket signs, you go, well, that's already been disproved, you know, that long time ago. And you know, all these fears and everything. And, you know, a good example is the Russian hacking.
Yeah.
Which is so ridiculous. Anybody that has any brain cells would realize that, you know, the polls are not online and the grid system is not online. You can't hack the polls or the grid system. It doesn't work. You know, you have to have an inside person, or you have to have especially with the polls and the grid. And so the grid, what they're saying is they found a laptop with some weird malware on it, but the malware is all over the world. It's a very old form of malware. It's not tied into Russia. I mean, the whole planet can use that malware that they found. And, you know, it was all, you know, trumped up, you know, little pun on words, but the whole thing was just nonsense. But people didn't use rational thinking and go, or even do any research and go, wait a second, how can they hack the grid? The grid is not on the internet. And how can they hack the polls? You know, and it's state by state and thing. They never really looked into that. And now, I guess the British ambassador, the retired British ambassador, I think his name was Craig Murray, said I was the one that leaked the information. And it looks like he got it from Seth Rich, who was the one that was murdered. He was the net analyst and some kind of a programmer, did all kinds of work on the inside of the Clinton Foundation. And from what he saw and started reading and seeing the behavior, a lot of people in there were so disgruntled, they just wanted to see her go down. You know, they couldn't stand what they're seeing. And so there's many leaks coming out of there. And some of the leaks, I guess, and that stuff's been admitted to, but the other leaks they're saying were coming from internal agents like FBI and CIA and things like that, that just were also fed up with the corruption, you know, and the decadence and everything else that was going on. But people are still, you know, carrying these signs, you know, accusing of being in bed with the Russians you know, all these accusations on these signs. And I just said, well, all that stuff came from CNN. It came from sources that can't be validated. You know, nobody will testify, you know, that leaks came from Russia, because if they do, you know, they go to jail, you know, doing false testimony. So they can't get any agency to come forward and testify, you know, about that.
Let's discuss the reality of world leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly by this time, there's enough evidence, enough information that came out that actually John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev were always back channeling, always. Mm-hmm. And they had to do that because of the danger of nuclear war. And so they had a direct line to each other. In case something happened, you know, they were on the phone.
And so,
you know, I mean, what does that mean? And I would suspect over the years of the different ones that kind of a setup, you know, has always existed. So, are they hacking? Are they back channeling? What are they going to do? Now, one of the things that people in the United States need to realize is that we have not had an elected president since John F. Kennedy. All presidents since that time have been selected. So the question is, who does that selection? And so we start talking about, you know, the democracy and the and republics and the popular vote and this, that, and the other. Well, let's analyze this just a little bit here for a moment. Maybe I can give you a little history over the last couple of years that might be informative to some who haven't been exposed to this. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably, I would guess maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I did have an acquaintance. Actually, he was a friend. But anyway, he had previously been pretty high ranking up in the CIA. I think he said his rating was something like GS-16. He said, basically, I can go anywhere in the world and do just about anything I want to. And he did. And then he got converted that he was what he was doing was not exactly right. So he stopped it. But in any event, one of the things he told me at that, like I say, 7 or 8 years ago, he's passed away now. But anyway, he told me that the U.S. military had created a fully functioning interim government. And that it was, he told me it was stationed in West Virginia. Some have said Virginia. So either way, I don't know for sure. But, you know, some who have listened to some of the comments by the, by Drake Bailey, you know, uh-huh. Drake, some of those things up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so a lot of these things are, you know, ongoing. And so anyway, so he told me about that, you know, a number of years ago. And if you'll go and listen to Randy Kramer, the famous Captain K.
Yeah.
Randy's a hoot. But anyway, Randy had indicated that back during the days of Eisenhower, that's when he created the United States Marine Corps Special Section with certain instructions that if ever the country, the government was in danger of tipping over, that they were required and chartered to step forward. And so with all these things that have been demonstrated to us by, you know, by Randy or by Drake or by my friend and so forth, yeah, that it indicates to me that there has been a background program in process in the event that it looked like the government was in danger of imploding. So with that in mind, along about 2014, certainly it looked pretty grim for the circumstances we were laboring under then. And so in consequence of that, and in preparation for the correction of the planetary financial matrix, then it was deemed necessary by the U.S. military to actually go into action. Now, I mean, we could talk about the RV and the things that led up to that, the global reset, and so, but I'm not going to get into that those stories right now. But in any event, it looked like, you know, in 2014, in connection with other operations, that it would be necessary for the United States military to step forward and to take positive action to guarantee that the country would not fail. So, in consequence of that, in as of January 1, 2015, the military did come forward. At that time, the head guy, however you want to call him, the interim president, or just whatever you want to call him, was actually General Carter Ham. And I can't remember who was the second in command on that operation. I've kind of lost those names. But they went into operation on 1 January 2015, and they were in the process of doing a complete restructure. Now, the main concern, again, in connection with the correction of the financial matrix on the planet and in this country, in connection with the revaluation process that had been going on for a number of years in Reno, General Hamm came forward, and the first order of business was to get financially solid. And so they did not have basically any monetary resources. Now, about that time, there was, in connection with the restructuring on the planet, there were what were called the International Basel Agreements. And when they got up to that point under Basel III, in order for a national currency to have to be tradable on the international, then they had to be substance-backed. And in particular, they were talking about gold, you know, like we all talk about.
Yeah.
So this new deal that Carter Hamm was running here didn't have any gold. So in April of 2015, the Chinese elders, I don't know their names, they gave to this military operation, they gave them the equivalent of 200 billion in gold bullion. And they also gave them $385 billion in expenses. So with those things in hand, then they could start the operation that would be necessary to for an interim government to be functional. And so they did. Now, the first thing that they did was they created what was known, or what is known as, Treasury Reserve Notes. Now, those Treasury Reserve Notes started trading internationally during the summer of 2015. So we know it was good currency. If it was acceptable for trade across the planet, then obviously the currency would have to be good. So so we had one problem, the main problem that General Hamm had was actually General Dempsey. I think history will show that General Dempsey was simply a lapdog for Hillary. And I mean, I have evidence to point to that, and I don't want to get into that. However, General Dempsey seemed to be blocking the efforts that General was making. And some of you recall, General Hamm was the Army general that was told to step down and not to interfere in the Benghazi episode. And he was told to stand down by none other than the Secretary of State, Clinton, and the President at that time, Mr. Obama. And so you can only imagine that General Hamm had a few axes to grind over the results of his not being able to intervene in Benghazi. So at that time, General Dempsey was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which means basically he was the head guy at the Pentagon and had a major control of the U.S. military to a certain extent. So one of the blockades, or one of the blocks that they had to remove in order to move forward, was simply get rid of General Dempsey, which they did. And in November of 2015, Dempsey was fired, and they brought in General Dunford, U.S. Marine Corps General Dunford. Semper Fi, all you Marines out there. We're glad to see one of our boys got in. Just a little joke there. But anyway, in November of 2015, General Dunford actually was nominated and installed by the U.S. Congress as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And at that point, it appears that General Ham down in favor of General Dunford. Now we had some interesting things that happened. It seemed like that there was going to be a certain amount of interaction with the Congress at that point, because the Speaker of the House was removed and they brought in Paul Ryan as the Speaker of the House. You know, if you've studied our chain of command in the government, the Speaker of the House is actually number three. So you have the President, the Vice President, and then the Speaker of the House. And so in the event that the President and Vice President were lost, killed, or if they resigned, the Speaker of the House would step forward as the acting president of the government. So there were a lot of rumors floating around going back and forth, but more and more we saw a certain amount of interaction between Paul Ryan and General Dunford. And so we kind of had our fingers crossed a little bit about what the results of that might be. Now, so we get into 2016, you know, the politics start heating up. And so we had Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton, you know, they're doing their politicking and carrying on one another. At that time, I was keying on General Dunford and Paul Ryan, who seemed to be acting in harmony. As it turns out, they probably were not, but at that time, that was my impression. But I did go to one of my sources, who is, in fact, the entity known as the Golden Dragon. And so I went and asked him, I said, who have the Chinese selected to be the next president? Again, folks, JFK was our last elected president. And so anyway, I went and asked the question, who have the Chinese elders selected to be the president? Because I was figuring it's either going to be General Dunford or Paul Ryan. And he said, no. He said, they have selected Donald Trump to be the next president. Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't believe him. And so I was watching the activities of Dunford, Ryan, doing this and doing that. We had our fingers crossed about the interim government. And it was rumored to me back 2015, as I had mentioned, had sent money. There was a new Treasury Reserve. And those Treasury Reserves are government-level money, so that doesn't affect us, you know, on the street, us mere peons. And so I was concerned about what kind of currency that would be made available to the people generally. And so I contacted one of my sources. I think I've spoken with Keith Scott in the past. And I asked, you know, we're going to have to do our business with. And he said, the new United States notes should be out by the end of October 2015. Oops, that didn't happen. So I was scratching my head trying to figure out why that didn't happen. And we had our fingers crossed and we were hoping, you know, a lot it goes. Now, so anyway, during campaign, all these kind of things, we're listening to all this and going back and forth, you know, and still I'm thinking, you know, I was trying to figure out what the parameters were, what the outcome would be, because I was still in my mind, you know, I've got, you know, there's no doubt anybody really, the outcome of the election, But I was still juggling in my mind what the influence or effect of the Dunford-Ryan connection might be in this whole process. And this, let me say, there still may be some things coming up in the future in that respect. I can't say, I'm not even going to speculate on that one, but it appears there might be. But in any event, I did get voted in, popular vote, and then also by the Electoral College. And I was informed by my sources that immediately after the Electoral College process was done, that actually Mr. Trump was actually sworn in at that time. So the inauguration that we had on the 20th was actually for public consumption, because if you follow what he was doing, and I did have, a few things that came to me from different places that he was very active in pursuing some things. I mean, we had all kinds of deals being cut across the planet. We had all these businesses that were promising to come back, billions upon billions were going to be repatriated back to the country, so forth. And so it's obvious that, Trump was acting with some level of authority. Now, the question I would ask, I may be able to find it out. As I have spoken in the past on a lot of the seminars and stuff, and I have pointed out to people the legitimate lawful process of the Electoral College, the Articles of Confederation, the results of the Electoral College resulted in a man who could assume the office of the President of the United States of America. In fact, he would take the constitutional Article 6 oath. And so when he took the oath in private, I would really like to know, did he take that Article 6 oath or not? And so I don't know, but I do know I was listening very carefully on Inauguration Day to see what oath would be administered at that time. It was not the Article 6 oath. It was Article 2 oath, because he became, with that oath, the President of the United States. There's nothing to indicate that he actually filled the result of the Electoral College as the man to fill the office of the President of the United States of America. Because those are two separate, distinct things. People need to do a little bit of research and study on their history so they can see those things. So in any event, we got down to here this last Friday, or yesterday when it was, and people were getting pretty excited about things. There was a lot of support, a lot of negativity. We still have a nation divided against itself, which certainly Lincoln was trying to avoid. And so now we have contention, and and that may be by design of the mean people. I don't know what it is, but if we're going to heal, number one, this financial matrix, this correction with the money and all these kind of things in the country, it has to come out. Nasara, I haven't even mentioned Nasara, but Nasara has to be announced, and the various provisions of that have to be executed upon and implemented. And I believe myself, aside from all the rhetoric going back and forth between the fighting factions, that with the introduction of the United States notes, which went live on October 1 of 2016, that once those things are implemented along with Nasara, then that might go a long way towards healing the polarity that's been caused by this election. So that's kind of my brief history to bring us up to the point where we're at now.
Yeah. Great. And, you know, what I'm seeing right now is, and I don't want to focus on this too much, but it's kind of disturbing watching these people writing, you know, for Clintons. You know, they want the Clintons back in, and they have no idea who they are and what they've done and their behavior. And it's so dark. It's beyond imagination. But everybody goes, well, that's just conspiracy theory. And I go, no, it's actually – it's called files within the FBI and the New York Police Department. And so, you know, and not that's just the tip of the iceberg. And that tip goes about as dark as you can get. But anyway, you know, I see this thing going on. And it's like the Stockholm Syndrome, where they've been captors for so long. They've been enslaved through dependency. They've been ripped off and lied to and deceived for so long. And now they worship their deceivers and their enslavers. And it's like, I go, you know, come on, people, look at who your leaders are. Look at your chosen leaders. You know, let's do some research and see who they really are. And then the Russian thing went and all the diatribes that have been created by CNN and the news, which is owned by the elite and the Illuminati. You know, most of it doesn't hold water. If any of it did hold any water, it was so blown out of proportion that it didn't even need to be mentioned, basically. But, you know, just watching this and watching these, I watched them interview these kids, and the kids are all throwing rocks and bottles and stones, you know, at the police and everything. And the police are really chilling. I mean, they've got all their gear up, and they're holding their gear up, and the rocks and bottles are hitting their shields, you know, and they basically kept their cool. You know, I was surprised they didn't react a lot more than they did, considering what was being thrown at them. And then these guys would walk up, these young kids, and they, you know, I hate to sound judgmental, but they looked like punks. You know, I hate to say, they just looked like troublemakers. And they went up there and they held their hands up in the air and they did this big drama and got on their knees and said, you know, like, persecute me, you know, and I'm throwing rocks and bottles at you and everything. And now I'm going to stand in front of you and say, persecute me. And it's like when they interviewed these guys, they didn't even know why they were there. You know, they were there just to riot, just to go up against the man, you know, or go up against the authority or something, or work out whatever issues they've got to work out. But I was waiting for one of them to make a coherent statement on why he was there or what he based his information on or something, you know, and it just didn't come.
Well, you know, those kind of things always happen. You know, some of us are old enough to remember. I mean, you know, I was one of the child of the 60s. You know, I remember Kent State. I remember riots in Washington, D.C., I think in 72. And then you go all the way through, you know, all of our history right up to the present. I mean, we had the Tea Party thing going on and people doing the same kind of stuff. And there always does seem to be a certain element that do not act reasonably in a lot of these situations. So this is not unusual. It happens all the time. I mean, Rodney King, remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On there. And so and then we had all these shootings, you know, and Columbine and on and on and on these things go. Now, so this is not unusual that these kind of things would go on at this election, you know, maybe the next election, you know, would they have gone on if Hillary had become president? We don't know. You know, they may have, I doubt it. But in any event, this is to be expected. This is how, you know, certain elements in our society express themselves. Now, that's unfortunate. We don't need violence. If someone wants to protest or whatever, then that certainly is within their parameters and rights to do so. But violence is not a part of that process. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, you know, they just give a black eye to society when they do that kind of thing. And you know, certainly I don't support it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was just watching it happen. You know, and there's always going to be that element, and it's always going to be the, you know, the muggles versus the, you know, the magicians or whatever you want to call it. But just watching it, you know, one kid set himself on fire.
Yeah. You know,
And it's just, yeah. And it's just like, what? I wonder if he even knows. I mean, he's just caught up some emotional frenzy or fear or something, or is it just the sense of entitlement's over or something? I mean, what is driving these people to do this stuff?
It would be interesting to do a blood test on all those who did those kind of things, just to see how many of them had evidence of Prozac or some of those other chemicals their body. So you know, when we start talking about mind control, that's one thing, but we also have some of these other problems with some of these drugs that are being fed to the population, you know, by the AMA, the psychiatrists, and the doctors and so forth. Mm-hmm. Rather than getting into a controversy with those who have expressed themselves that way, in my mind, I kind of feel sorry for them. You know, that this is what their life is.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I have a certain amount of compassion for the parties. Certainly, I don't have any compassion for the way they act. But on the, you know, on the flip side of the coin, you know, what caused them to act like that? Was there something that happened to them? Was there something going on? Was there some drug-induced things happening here? I just don't know. But I think after here a short period of time, I think it'll calm down. You know, once prosperity starts to hit the population, and especially when we get the new United States notes into circulation, everybody's going to be well pleased with that. Then when the provisions of Nassara, and some of them have been starting to be executed upon, but when those provisions, with prosperity rather upset about circumstances that they find themselves in. Now let me point this out too. And this is one problem. And the man does not run the government. So Obama tried it. That didn't work out too well for him. Speaker of the House, have these various ones, but the government is run by the administration. So we have thousands of people that work in government. Will Mr. Obama be able to influence that administration? Will Mr. Trump be able to influence that administration? We got senators, we got congressmen, we got all kinds of things that are working out here. Want to see a change in government, and businessman that we put in there, can he government such a start? You'll just have to see, because if he might get support from the Congress and so forth, and like he will have. But if you can't get the support of Congress, if you can't get the support of the secretaries, if you can't get people running about what they're going to do, write letters and petitioning their Congress, say, what we want is one action. You know, we're not under dictatorship. So if we're going to see change, we'd like to see happen. Don't lay it off on, you know, don't lay everything off on just one man. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. You know what's happening right here? I mean, I can hear bits and pieces of what you're saying. It's starting to clear up now, but hopefully at the station they're getting a clear signal. We're right in the middle of this huge monsoon.
Well, you're coming through, clearly everything you're saying is coming through just fine. I can hear it great.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, it's just the audio on this side, but I think it's this monsoon we're in right now, the storm. But, you know, nature reflects the human condition, you know, and when we had World War One and Two, nature just was horrific in storms and things like that. And they've actually tied this in to whenever there's major social unrest. You know, nature actually expresses the same, you know, the same unrest. So there's no wonder this storm is happening right now.
Yeah. Well, let's get into people now. I mean, you know, Mr. Trump in his inauguration speech said we're giving the government back to the people. We're taking the power away from D.C. We're going to, you know, the government now is going back to the people. And so what will people do with it if it does? That's a real concern.
Yeah.
Because, an uninformed electorate, it's dangerous. And so certainly myself and many others, you know, have been in the process of hopefully, you know, educating people about, you know, in my case, you know, about proper commerce, proper ways to handle things, so forth, stay in honor, and so forth and so on. So the real question, you know, that comes to me is the participation of people and what level they operate on, because that is the determining factor as to how things are going to turn out. So it seems like more and more of the excitement that's caused by this particular lecture have taken more interest in the process and also hopefully in the outcome. And so the real question is how will the people live? Because that's what determines the outcome. I mean, you know... Sure enough, you know, the bureaucracy is a pain in the neck, and we have all these problems with rules, regulations, statutes, codes, and all kinds of things, which years, you know, at Solutions in Commerce, I've tried to help people to learn how to do some of those things. But you know, one of the statements that I made speaking to an audience here recently was, we have won the war. Now, what would it take to win peace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And see what it is. Now, one of the things that we anticipate in the country, due to Nassara and other things which become apparent, is that we expect that we will have prosperity in the country. Now, what does prosperity mean? What does it mean to the individual, to their families, to their communities, and all these kinds of things? If you have a little bit more than you had this time last year, what will you do with your excess? If you have more free time than you had this time last year, what are you doing with your free time? In other words, how will prosperity affect you, and what will you do when you have more than you need as far as resources or as far as my parents' generations and the generations before them? You didn't have free time, if you see what I mean. And that was when you get into, in particular, a agricultural type of environment. Everybody's done farming, they know it's a 24/7 ordeal that you're going to do. And so the amount of free time that's available to people in an agricultural society is a whole lot less. And then during my parents' generation, people started moving into cities, and they had a great deal of more free time based upon cheap energy. that cheap energy has come at a real price. In other words, we've been burning gasoline, we've been burning coal, we've been burning diesel and airplane fuel, all kinds of things. And so this free time and this prosperity, as we suppose, has come with a price. Now, the expectation is, and I do know, the Chinese builders are trying to push all of these inventions and patents and stuff that have been kept from the action of the petroleum and chemical industry. I like to point it out, traveling up and down the highways and technology. And so we, you know, our prosperity and free time, as it was supposed to, has come with a very high price tag, and the price tag has been, in many respects, the destruction of our now. If we start to get based, be the outcome. And see, what will you do? Are you seeing back there?
Yeah. You know what? What's going on right here is I'm getting bits and pieces. I'm kind of getting the gist, basically telepathically, of what you're saying. But it's so bad here. I mean, the rain is coming down in just buckets here. It is the most rain I've seen in a long time.
Well, I can carry on a little bit of a conversation and maybe carry it.
This is working fine now. Now we have I think it's caught up or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's just I don't even know how to explain it other than a full-on monsoon coming down right now.
But it
represents the tears of the people and all the other stuff going on, you know. And a lot of people are crying for things that don't exist. I mean, they're fearing the future, and they're attacking the very people that are trying to make a future for them, you know, and trying to, you know, take out the garbage or drain the swamp. And it's interesting because it makes no sense on one level, because the people are attacking the very people trying to save them from their enslavement and the corruption and the greed, and even going to satanic ritual and blood sacrifice, things like that. But there's all these people putting their lives on the line to clean this mess up, and then there's these other people out there protesting the cleanup, it's just amazing. But there has been a huge psyops going on, and it's a massive mind control program, and it's done through CNN and most of the lamestream media, and they program people with all kinds of fears and beliefs and things like that that aren't true, hopefully people will. I always say, it's important everybody do their inner work, and not take your wounds and traumas to the streets, and express them there. Go within and heal them, clear your energies first. If you're going to march for peace, you better be at peace. And don't take all that garbage, you're just making more of a toxic mess when you bring all your garbage to the party. And that's what I'm seeing. And I'm also seeing a lot of people have done no research whatsoever. Their research is to turn the TV on, and sit and eat dinner or whatever with the news going, and that's it. Listen to CNN, and everybody knows, that the CNN is the Clinton News Network or the CIA News Network, and it's not telling you anything, other than the agenda of the elite or the Illuminati, but I I'm really amazed at how well, I mean, the fluoride's working, you know, the additives are working, the mind control is definitely working, but the good news is it's not working well enough. You know, it's people, you know, all over the world just woke up, are waking up very quickly, and especially in America, the people are waking up and they're taking their power back and they're saying enough's enough, and they're seeing through the lies and the deceptions and all the other stuff going on. So, you know, the good news is it's happening, and more good news is it's a multidimensional event that's happening.
And, exactly.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, angelic beings, ascended masters, ultra dimensionals, all these people behind this cleanup process, you know, to restore, you know, the human consciousness here and clean up the planet and things like that. And then we have the other elements out there, which are the dark forces, which have been aligned with a lot of politicians, of which they do their rituals to stay in power, which are presently getting their butts kicked, you know, they're getting kicked off the planet. And energetically, they're just getting hammered right now. A lot of them have left. There's a few left, but it's the puppet masters are being taken out, and now the puppets are floundering. And if you want to know who's been involved with all these satanic rituals and pedophile rings and things like that, they're the ones that are screaming the loudest and, you know, screaming all kinds of fears and things, you know, and trying to take Trump out. And you know, it's rampant throughout Hollywood. It's rampant throughout the political system. Almost all institutions, religious institutions, you know, all of these guys have been involved in these very dark, nefarious acts. Are the ones that are screaming the loudest, you know, and so, and to me, so I just, well, you know, they're coming unraveled, they're falling apart, they can't function in the new energies, and that's what we're all seeing right now.
Yeah, well, let me just express this, because you know, I mean, it's easy to recognize, you know, some of the difficulties, you know, that we encounter. But let me express my confidence in the people in this country, the people in other countries. The vast majority of the people on the planet are not that way. There's only a small minority, only a small fraction of the population who act irrationally. And most of the people do want prosperity, they do want peace, you want to get along with your neighbors, all these kinds of things. So I have seen, and I am seeing, the evolution of the attitude of the people on the planet, and I have full confidence in the outcome. So I personally am not the least bit worried, you know, that we're all going to hell in a handbasket, because we're not.
Oh, no, we're not. I agree.
Confidence, yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, the if you look at the statistics and everything else, the real statistics, overwhelmingly, you know, the support for Trump and the people waking up, it's very clear that people were done with the old guard and done with all the dishonesty and deceptions. And I think a lot of them are really worried about that happening again, which I don't think that's the process. It doesn't look like that here. And from our knowledge and our inner sources, Trump is working his butt off on our behalf already and doing some amazing things, you know, for the planet and the people of America. But, you know, and I'm not a politician. I'm not a Trump fan or anything else. I just know certain things, and I'm surprised other people don't know. And it kind of shocks me sometimes that they haven't figured it out yet. But I know we're fast tracking that. We're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately, but what's do you have some workshops coming up, or is there anything on your agenda?
No, we just did a webinar today, earlier today. We did a little webinar as part of a series of webinars, but we don't have anything big on the schedule right now. But certainly if people want to go back and review, you know, what we have had, if they go to my website, which is Winston Shrout Solutions in Commerce.com, you know, then the DVDs of seminars, the topics and so forth that we've covered can be seen on the product page. And then I do have a YouTube section on there where you can go back and review many of the interviews, you know, that I've done over the years. And so you kind of get a gist for what solutions e-commerce is all about. And then, you know, like I say, if you want to progress on in your studies in those particular areas to become proficient in various elements within commercial retention, then it's available to you too. So you can go to the website, take a look, see what we have, listen to some of the presentations and so forth. And, so that's what we have.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're out of time, unfortunately, but keep up the good work and we'll stay in touch.
Okay. Have fun over there.
All right. You too. All right. This is James Gillen signing off with the BBS Network, As You Wish Talk Radio. And, you know, go within, you know, clear your energies first before going out and marching at these things, and make sure you're not vicariously working out your issues through these marches. And at the same time, do your research, you know, really check into what you're marching for and who you're supporting out there, and do they actually deserve your support? And do it, you know, with brutal honesty, because that's what's going to take to get through these times. But anyway, watch the skies, stay in the heart, and lead yourself from your own heart and soul. Have a great evening. Good night.